Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, further and faster in removing extremist content. We've got that story, plus high fluoride, low IQ. But first, agencies suing citizens and journalists who seek public records. This story, just via the Associated Press, an Oregon parent wanted details about school employees getting paid to stay home. A retired educator wanted data about student performance in Louisiana. College journalists in Kentucky wanted documents about the investigations of employees accused of sexual misconduct. Instead, all those folks got something else. They got sued by the agencies they had asked for public records. Government bodies are increasingly turning the tables on citizens who seek public records that might be embarrassing or legally sensitive. Instead of granting or denying their request, a growing number of school districts, municipalities, and state agencies have filed lawsuits against people making their requests. Taxpayers, government watchdogs, journalists, who must then pursue the records in court at their own expense. State freedom of information laws generally allow requesters who believe they are wrongly denied records to file lawsuits seeking the force of the release of those records. If they succeed, government agencies can be ordered to pay the legal fees and court costs. Suing the requesters sort of flips the script. Even if agencies are ultimately required to make the records public, they typically will not have to pay the other side's legal bills. And this is just a kind of another classic way that they can just legally grind you down because they know you don't have a team of lawyers like we do. James, that's a scary way to get started on this episode 321. What do you think?
Well, I'm confused, James, because my statist friends always tell me that we are the government and that they're our servants and all of that. So how could they possibly be suing people for requesting information from their servants? In fact, aren't you their boss? Isn't that how this works? All right. No, of course, that isn't how this works. I think it's important to stress that this story is fundamentally about a kind of delaying tactic or a tactic for avoiding release of information. It's just another layer of bureaucracy. So the entire system is a bureaucracy that's set up to try to decide whether or not it's valid to give this information out, or in what way and what can we redact and all of that. Well, here's another layer of that bureaucracy, a legal layer that people will have to go through as more of these agencies start countersuing to basically make people pay for the process of discovering whether this information is public or not, which is, it's just insanity. But it's important to keep in mind, this is, I think, for the kind of lower levels of the ladder, the local school board and things like this, for them to just basically throw it back in your face and delay a little bit when they have some information that they may or may not want you to look at, may just not want to do the work of actually, you know, going through and categorizing it and redacting it if need be and whatever. The higher levels, of course, will just magically disappear the files that they find inconvenient, like the OKC Murrah building videos. So, sorry, the FBI, we can't find those videos that would prove if McVeigh, you know, did it by himself or not. Or there's an interesting story that recently came out from the Free Thought Project. I'll link it in the show notes. It's an interesting story about CIA and the records that they have on Oswald, and some of them going missing. It's a good story with an unfortunately clickbaity title, but I think people should read it to find out what may or may not be coming in the big JFK record dump next month. Anyway, that's how the big boys handle these situations. The kind of lower levels of the ladder just make countersue to make you basically pay for the costs of getting information.
I had already started to think of the Oswald thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, James. And of course, it'll all be perfectly timed because it'll be November and it'll be, of course, JFK assassination kind of anniversary time. So that'll be coming up soon. In a lot of these cases, James, the AP article, of course, goes on and we'll include the links to everything we mentioned here in the show notes. In the Oregon case, it's pretty much a tenacious mom here that's just on top of them, on the school board, on the message boards, on Facebook. She's basically a giant pain in the ass, and they don't like it. And in the other cases, it's citizen journalists. It's people wanting to know what their school districts, what their states, what their cities are lying about. And it's pretty fascinating stuff. And again, I think it relates in a lot of ways to in some ways, the kind of work that we're doing, the kind of work that people out there are doing in their cities, in their towns, in their schools, figuring out hopefully what's really going on. Our second story this week on New World Next Week, episode 321 for September 21st. It is the end of summer, and we're glad you're here for some independent, non-commercial, alternative media. Our second story this week, we head to the ever-popular United Nations General Assembly, where Prime Minister May again warns the tech firms over that terror content. And we grab it from the BBC. Technology companies must get better in removing extremist content, Theresa May has told the United Nations General Assembly, aka that big New York City show where all the puppets and pimps act all tough for the camera. The Prime Minister, she's also going to host a meeting with other world leaders and Facebook, Microsoft, and Twitter. They're just right there in the same sentence with each other. She'll challenge social networks and search engines to find fixes and to take down terrorist material in 2 hours, or your pizza's free, I assume. Tech giant Google said firms were doing their part, but they can't do it alone. Governments and brown shirt users are going to be needed to help. At the General Assembly, the Prime Minister hailed progress made by tech companies since the establishment in June of an industry forum to counter terrorism, which we've referenced here on New World Next Week. But she urged them to go further and faster in developing artificial intelligence solutions to automatically reduce the period in which terror propaganda remains available and eventually prevent it appearing at all. That reasonable goal. Google said it'll give £1 million to fund counterterrorism projects in the UK, part of a £5 million global commitment. And that's buried kind of deep down in the article, James, and I think that's really where it kind of gets to the nitty-gritty. It's all that slush fund, think tank, NGO, cash grab for cronies kind of action. I covered this story this week on my morning show, and that's where I also learned this fun acronym, FANG. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. That's what a tech analyst calls them and says they are now essentially surveillance states. Facebook, Google are surveillance states that risk regulation. And this all kind of seems like just a perfectly executed business plan, even right after Labor Day when they introduce new products and new bells and whistles and things. The revolving door of the public-private sectors that we've talked about, it's basically all the Google, the Bilderberg, all of those nice crony meetings, they've basically taken over kind of the technocratic operations of the state. And now they're essentially having a little pro wrestling where the state is going to pretend to crack down on itself. James?
Well, I think you have that about right. Yeah, pretending to crack down on itself. And of course, the crackdown will be very real and felt by a lot of people in the alternative media, of course. Terror content, indeed. This is no surprise to me. I mean, we've seen this in the tea leaves for quite a while, so I think we know that. And Theresa May and the UK government has been particularly forward in this. So that didn't really stand out to me from the UN General Assembly speeches so far. The one that stood out to me is the, you can tell the tale in the headlines, Trump and Netanyahu ready united assault against Iran nuclear deal. Netanyahu hails Trump's courageous UN speech blasting Iran. Netanyahu, Trump is changing the world by supporting Israel. So yeah, that's the one that kind of stuck out for me. Trump's demonization of Iran in the service, of course, of greater Israel. No surprise, I think, to anyone who has their head screwed on straight, but I'm sure there will be a lot of Trump and change voters who will suddenly be, oh wow, I didn't expect the peace president to go that way. Anyway, that's kind of what jumped out for me from the UN General Assembly.
Well, that and of course the part about Venezuela at the end, we might have to overthrow them. And of course, we might have to totally destroy North Korea. So there's a lot of giant kind of, I think, theatrical operations going on, James. It's almost like you'd have to be stupid to buy into all this stuff, which brings us to our third and final story, which we take via the CTV. Higher fluoride in urine linked to lower IQ in children. For many years, many communities have added fluoride to their drinking water to help reduce cavities. But a new study has found that a link between fluoride levels in pregnant women and lower intelligence in their children may provide further ammunition for those who are calling that whole practice into question. In the first study of its kind, investigators at the University of Toronto, McGill, the Harvard School of Public Health, and other institutions have found a link between fluoride in the urine of pregnant women and lower measures of intelligence in children. In a study released yesterday in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives, the researchers said they looked at 287 pair of mothers and kids in Mexico City at multiple stages of neurodevelopment. The study recruited pregnant women from 1994 to 2005, taking urine samples from the mothers during pregnancy and from their children between ages 6 and 12 to assess the exposures to fluoride. They then analyzed how fluoride in the pregnant mother's urine related to the measures of intelligence. Those measures included the children's verbal abilities at age 4, as well as their perceptual performance, memory, and motor abilities. They were tested again for the same things between the ages of 6 and 12. The researchers found a statistically significant connection between high levels of fluoride in the mothers when they were pregnant and lower scores on these intelligence measures. James, there it is.
There it is. Yeah. Surprise, too. Well, no one, I hope, that's watching us on a regular basis, especially because I've covered this in a number of different ways in the past. Please just type the word fluoride into my search engine on corporatereport.com, and you'll see dozens of different articles and interviews and podcasts and videos that I've done on this in the past, pointing out things like the 2012 meta-analysis that came out through Harvard, the impact of fluoride on neurological development in children, where they were talking about lower IQ associated with fluoride levels. So this is not exactly new, but this is the cream of the crop in terms of these types of studies. It is extremely thorough and comes from a data set that has been lauded and hailed in the scientific community as this incredible data set. So this is serious stuff, and it's going to be interesting to watch the spin doctors try to spin this one away, but they've already let themselves have a few outs. The article goes on to note about this, the incredible data set they were using, how thorough this all is, and So they have to finish it off on a note of, well, maybe this isn't definitive. And so Dr. Hu, who was doing the study, says that there's always the potential that fluoride really is the proxy of some other real actor that's playing a role. But I can't imagine what that would be. He said, we tested for all the things we could think of that could act on neurodevelopment, but we haven't found anything else that was a potential confounder. And he does finish the article with the quote, we emphasize that this is just one study. It's a rigorous study, but it's just one study. So they're leaving themselves the back door because, of course, this will be attacked by the scientific establishment, including the CDC and others, who have called fluoridation of the water one of the greatest, top 10 greatest achievements in public health in the 20th century, or whatever they called it, and whatever nonsense. So this study is going to be attacked. So just beware of that. But anyway, it shouldn't be surprising to people out there who are in the know. And the interesting part of this is that this is about primarily pregnant women. This is they're finding a high correlation, fluoride in pregnant women's urine and the neurodevelopment of their children, because, of course, brain development in utero during that time, extremely important. And that's why for all listeners, on a solutions note, for all listeners, but especially for pregnant mothers, if you are in a fluoridated area where they are fluoridating your water supply, please do use filters on your water. Please do use fluoride filters. And on a note of caution, you should make sure those filters actually work. There was a great video put up several months ago by Joe Plummer. Are you sure those fluoride filters are working? Where he goes through a test and he shows the test and he shows how the cheap brand that he bought of fluoride filters filtered absolutely no fluoride. And the more expensive brand actually does demonstrably filter the fluoride. So you have to know what you're buying and whether it works and how to test it. So please go to that video for more information about that. But this is the way to do it. Please filter your water if you are living in a fluoridated area.
Prenatal fluoride exposure and cognitive outcomes in children at 4 and 6 to 12 years of age in Mexico. That's the name of the full report, which we will include in the show notes, just like we'll include the link to that Joe Plummer video. And I, while poking around basically on the journal's website, because I had to look up that study that we just cited, as the CTV did not want to link to it in the actual story, but of course we do, because that's how we roll. I also found this one, because I started to search in the recent studies. A different study shows that flame retardant chemicals also make you stupid, and that just kind of reminded me of a personal stinky pet peeve, dryer sheets. also make you dumber as well. So don't buy any of that chemical crap. You can just use like baking soda and vinegar and that's it. And with all that money you're going to save, you'll be able to support independent alternative media like this. James, that's my pitch to wrap up this episode. We're on BitChute, we're on Patreon, and we are independent, non-commercial alternative media, and we survive with your support.
James? Speaking of that support, I should point out that that last fluoride story came from a tip from Home Remedy Supply, Corbett Report member, who left that story in the comment section of CorbettReport.com. That's how I found out about it. So this is a virtuous circle. You guys help us to get the news, and we help to get it out to the masses. That's how this works. This is alternative media brought to you by you. We're going to do it again next week. James, thanks for another great three stories.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.